years ago, I saw a t-shirt that it said, "I am woman, I'm invincible, I'm tired." I wish I had bought it because it's so true. Ann Morrow Lindbergh, who was the wife of Charles Lindbergh years and years ago, wrote a great book called A Gift from the Sea. And in it, she wrote this. This was over 50 years ago. She says this: "There are so few empty pages in my engagement pad, or empty hours in the day, or empty rooms in my life to which to stand alone and find myself. Too many activities and people and things, too many worthy activities, valuable things and interesting people. For it is not merely the trivial which clutters our lives, but the important as well." And how very true that is. And I hope we can navigate through this weekend in learning to choose that which is best in order to simplify our lives. Our main scripture, this is in your little booklet, "But I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." 2 Corinthians 11:3. So it's just so interesting that even to the early church, Paul was writing, I fear for you. I'm afraid that even now, I mean, this was a world without technology that Paul was writing to, that the enemy will deceive you and corrupt your minds from the simplicity which is in Christ. Another translation says this about 2 Corinthians 11:3. "I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." So the enemy wants to keep us from Jesus, spending time with him, putting him first, praising him. And so the purpose of a woman of simplicity is to live in simple and pure devotion to Christ. Donald Whitney said this: "We simplify not just to be less busy, even though we may be right to pursue that. Rather, we simplify to remove distractions from our pursuit of Christ. We prune activities from our lives, not only to get organized, but also that our devotion to Christ and service for his kingdom will be more fruitful. We simplify not merely to save time, but to eliminate hindrances to the time we devote to knowing Christ. All the reasons we simplify should eventually lead us to Jesus Christ." Now I had this verse from 1 Corinthians 7:35. Paul again wrote to the Corinthians, "I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible." So this morning we're going to look at some distractions. As I began to study simplicity, one of the verses that the Lord brought to mind was actually the Psalm 23, which we're all familiar with. And we sang this morning about that he is all we need. And this is what Psalm 23 begins with: "The Lord is my shepherd. He is all that I need. He leads me. He lets me rest in green meadows." Charles Spurgeon said he thinks the green meadows are the word of God. "He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." And so as I meditated on this psalm, I thought, okay, if the Lord is my shepherd, I want to follow him. And then this is what my day should look like. Number one, I'm free. I have everything I need because the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to let me rest in his word in green meadows. He's going to lead me beside peaceful streams. Is this part of your day? Do you have peaceful streams in your day? Because if we're following the Lord, if he is our shepherd, this is how he's going to guide us. Because only as we have pockets of peaceful streams in our day is our strength renewed. And then he guides us along the right path, bringing honor to his name. And my prayer has been for years, Lord, I don't want to go on any path except the one that brings honor to your name.
Amen.
So I think a woman of simplicity loves Psalm 23. She wants to live out Psalm 23. Our world today is such a 24/7. I read of a microwave fireplace. You can spend a relaxing evening in front of it in just 8 minutes. But our purposes here this weekend is to learn to be God's woman and fulfill his purpose. And essentially, this is my definition. The purpose of simplicity is to lead a God-paced life. Now, a God-paced life is individualized, and it doesn't mean it's always slow. Sometimes he picks up the pace. Sometimes we have to go on detours. Sometimes we go over rough roads. But I think built into that, if we're leading and wanting to lead God's life for us, following him and letting him guide us, he builds in the rest in our life. If we're going at a God-paced life, then he knows how to pace us. Let's look at some distractions. The first one is busyness and activities. Corey Ten Boom said, if Satan cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. Yeah. Isn't that good? Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This is a picture of my husband, Jack, and this is Lily. This was taken a few years ago. Our oldest son and his wife adopted Lily. They had children of their own, but they adopted her from China. She had a cleft palate and club feet. They got her when she was 18 months old and found out that she had been placed out on the curb of a street with just a little piece of paper on top of her chest with her birth date on it, and that was it. And an orphanage came by and got her, and eventually Daryl and Kathy, my son and daughter-in-law, invited her, adopted her into their family. Now, Lily had absolutely nothing to do with this. She didn't have to earn her way into this family. She didn't have to perform. She was just loved and accepted and chosen to be in this wonderful family. You all, it's the same thing with God, with us. That's what he said. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. We don't have to do anything to receive God's love and acceptance. We don't. Daryl and Kathy eventually adopted three more little Chinese. Lily is there with the glasses holding Charlie, this was taken before his little legs were amputated below the knee. You can see his little legs had no bones at all. He now has prosthetics and he's just going everywhere. And Lucy is in Jack's lap and Bella is at the end, and both of them have spina bifida. Lucy cannot walk, and Bella can walk, but she got some complications. But anyway, they're a precious family. And neither any of them did anything to get into this wonderful family. And they were chosen, they are loved, and it was by grace. So, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. None of these children can say, oh, I was so good. That's why I'm in the healed family. For we are God's masterpiece. I looked at that. Masterpiece in the Greek can also mean poem. Isn't that neat? For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, I underlined the last part of Ephesians 2, 9. We need to understand that it's all grace that God extends to us. He loves us, we are his, and he's committed to us. But he's created us, and all that are in Christ are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So what I'm getting at is that God wants us to do things for him, but he wants us to do the things he has planned for us, not what we think he wants us to do. And there is an incredible difference. And it helps us in understanding how to simplify our lives when we want to do what God wants us to do, not what we think he wants us to do. Martin Luther said, all works, no matter how good they are and how pretty they look, are in vain if they do not flow from grace. Any works we do that we feel like we are doing this to be accepted, we're doing this to be noticed, we're doing this for praise from other people, those are works not flowing from grace. And so we want to live with the Lord as our shepherd, with his guiding us so that we're doing the things that he had planned for us. Years and years ago, this verse, John 15:5, I have two or three main verses in my life that have changed me totally. And John 15:5 is one of them. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who dwells in me as I dwell in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And the part of this verse that really touched me was, apart from me, you can do nothing. Unless we're abiding or dwelling or staying connected to Jesus Christ as our shepherd, anything we do, it doesn't mean we don't do anything. I just think it means we don't do anything of eternal value for his kingdom that blesses the heart of God. So I want to dwell, I want to live, I want to abide, I want to stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ so that anything I do is what he wants, and it's accomplishing his purpose in my life. Another major distraction are our material possessions. This is a picture of my grandmother. She was born in 1892. She had a fourth grade education, but she was probably the wisest woman I have ever known. The wonderful thing about my grandmother is when she opened her closet to decide what to wear, she only had two choices. You know, two dresses. She probably only had two pairs of shoes. She was not complicated with possessions. She did not have an abundance of possessions. In fact, they lived out on a farm in Louisiana. She had emotional challenges in her life, but she did not have the intrusion of stuff and possessions. And for her exercise, she gardened. There was no gym nearby. I don't even think they had gyms in those days. She was a precious woman. She gave birth to 15 children.
Oh, my word.
I'll never forget when I was pregnant with our oldest, we went by to see my grandmother, spend the night with her, and I was really had morning sickness. And she looked at me, she says, "Honey, there's nothing I don't know about that disease." But she, I love this. She said, "I wouldn't give a zillion dollars for another child. I wouldn't give a zillion dollars for any one of my children, but I wouldn't pay a nickel for another one." But my grandmother was happy, and she was a blessing, and she didn't know she didn't have a lot of stuff. She did not love the world. 1 John 2:15, "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you." You all, this is one of these wonderful verses that we don't have to sit around, and I could divide you up into little groups, and you all spend 15 minutes trying to decide what this verse means. It's very, very clear, isn't it? Do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. I love verses like this that are so, so clear. Jesus told us, don't store up treasure here on earth. Store up treasure in heaven. So, you all, it is not wrong to have material possessions. Just don't store them up. That's the key. In Tucson, there's a wonderful church on a street, but right next to the church is a large storage area, public storage building. And so every time I drive by there, I say, I have two choices. I can store up stuff for where moth and rust corrupt, or I can store up treasures in heaven. And so that needs to be our focus in terms of our material possessions. And it's the thing that really bothers me about Eve, and I think this is why Paul addressed just as Satan deceived Eve by his craftiness. You know what? Eve lived in a perfect world. Yet it was not enough. That's scary. Because Satan can do that to us. We can have everything we need, but still be dissatisfied. And so we need to be so careful that we do not love the world. I found this quotation. If I have food in my refrigerator, if I'm dressed and have shoes, if I have a bed and a roof above my head, I am better off than 75% of people in this world. I mean, I'm thinking about the dear immigrants in Tijuana right now. What do we have to complain about? We spent a time in Africa, and after I came home, I mean, we've been there several times, but every time I come home, I say, I am not complaining about anything. We have no idea how other people live, and so we have no reason to complain. I found this quotation by William Morris, and I think it's one of the best ones. 1877, he said, "Have nothing in your houses that you do not believe to be useful or believe to be beautiful." You all, this is an incredible guideline for your stuff. Yeah. Is it beautiful and is it useful? Otherwise, you don't need it. It's great to use this as a guideline. Richard Swenson said, "Everything we own owns us." Everything has the potential to become a hindrance to fixing our eyes on Jesus. John Piper said, "We are not here to possess the world. We are here to show by how we use the world that Christ is more precious than the world. And we sang this morning, you alone are better than life, than anything in this world. You alone are all I want. A.W. Tozer said, we Christians must simplify our lives or lose untold treasure on earth and in eternity. Modern civilization is so complex as to make the devotional life all but impossible. It wears us out by multiplying distractions and beats us down by destroying our solitude, where otherwise we might drink and renew our strength from going out to face the world again. Let's pray. Father, I just pray you'd be able to speak to our hearts in a powerful way this weekend. Of wanting to just let you be enough for us, Lord. For believing with all of our heart that you are all we need. And that you are the one who provides for us. You are the one who gives us what we need. That's what a shepherd does. So, Lord, I just pray we would be open to your Holy Spirit in teaching us and guiding us. Thank you so much for this time today. Just bless the workshops that we'll be going to today and continue to bless our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead and stand.